Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, so blessed to be with you this morning because God woke me up and I'm grateful. Hallelujah. He gave us another day, so all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. And you have a thank you, Lord, in your spirit. I do. I am grateful. And our prayer for this morning from our 365 days of prayer for life. It's coming out of the 31st Psalm, verse 19, NIV, Psalm of Heaven. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. God, my refuge, you are the shelter I run to in the storms of life. You are never far away. I am so grateful for the safety I find in you. You can't be moved or shaken. You are the rock of my salvation, my firm foundation. You generously give out of the abundance of your goodness to all those who come to you for refuge. You don't secretly build us up. You do it plainly for everyone to see. In your wisdom, you give everyone their portion. How great is the love you freely pour out. I am overcome by emotion when I think about your great faithfulness. I see you at work in the lives of my friends. I see you so clearly in my own, in your abundant gift. I am more than satisfied. I will not be standing and doling out my own. Thank you for the consistent glimpses of heaven and the gifts you placed in my life. Woo. What gifts has God deposited in your life that are pure goodness? And all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for giving me a happy heart. Do you smile? Do you give God that bright smile? Do you see the sun coming in to your room early morning hours? As I look and see the sun coming up, it does something to my heart. It brings me joy. It brings me peace. It brings me everything that I love, which is God and the peace and the understanding that can only come from him. And, you know, I read the word, and what came to mind was, who can contend with God, with the God the Almighty? Who can contend with God the Almighty? Job found out he couldn't. When God speaks, we better listen. This is kind of a part two. But I tell you, God spoke on yesterday, and he's going to speak again today. And all we have to do is listen. Are you listening to God today? Are you thanking him for his grace? Are you thanking him for his mercy? Are you just saying to God, thank Heavenly Father, I thank you for another day. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy that surrounds us all, God. If we are here, that means you gave us grace for another day. So, Father, I thank you for this day that you have made. I'm rejoicing and glad in it. And, Lord, as I lift up this mighty word this morning, ask you, Father God, to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I give myself away this morning for you to use me. Use me, Lord, for your glory, for I am nothing without you. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word. I lift up the ears, live and later. I lift them up and ask you, Lord, to give them blessings, Abraham blessings, that overflow to others, that they may see how great you are. You are great, God. You are clothed in majesty, almighty, and I am grateful to say I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is time that I put into the atmosphere the word of God. And I can do nothing more than say thank you, God, for the opportunity to serve you in the only way I can. So thanking God this morning for this word. And again, our title for today, for those that need one, is Who Can Contend with God the Almighty? That's what it says. Job chapter 39. Do you know the time when the wild mountain, and this is the Almighty God speaking, time when the wild mountain goat bear young? Or can you mark when the deer give birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down. They bring forth their young. They deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the hunger? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the barren land is dwelling? Who scorns the torment of the city? Who does not heed the shout of the driver? The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will the bed by your manger? Will he bed by your manger? Ooh, that's something to think about. Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like the kindly stars? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. She trusts her young harshly. She treats her young harshly as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without concern, because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snoring strikes. Terror. He paused in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. Nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey, its eyes observe from afar, its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is. Chapter 40 of Job. Moreover, the Lord answered Job, and shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Who can contend with God the Almighty? No one. No one. No one can contend with God the Almighty. And if you think you can, God asked Job, answer it. He who rebukes God, let him answer it. And Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer? I lay my hand over my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you what your own right hand can save you. That your own right hand can save you. Look now at the behemoth which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. His strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sleeves of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus tree, in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus tree covering him with their shade, the willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident. Though the Jordan gushes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. Whew. And Job 4:4, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? Even a blameless and upright man sees himself as vile when confronted by the majestic holiness of Almighty God. Yet we can come boldly into God's presence when we come in faith, wrapped in Christ's righteousness. Job 40:8, would you condemn me that you may be justified? We may not always understand God's ways, but we must never presume to judge God's ways. He is a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright, Deuteronomy 32:4. Who are we to question God? Who are we to contend with God? We cannot, and we don't need to try. Whatever goes on in our life is for a reason. Even if you are surrounded by stuff, you've got to understand it's for a reason. It's for a reason. And we got to say, Lord, whatever the reason is, show me, help me, guide me. We got to give everything to God. We can't do it by ourselves. Even though we try, we cannot. on our own. I got to trust God. I'm still contending with a big old tree in my yard. The sign is growing already. But I know one thing. God is giving me favor to get it up. It's just too hot. So I have to wait. You know, I'm waiting on the Lord. Because right now, it's too hot for anybody to be outside. If you don't have to be, stay in. I live, it's 113 degrees. They're talking about today. We got to understand climate change is real. Do you not think that the Almighty is trying his best to get our attention? God is trying to get our attention. Hawaii, one of the most beautiful island, burned to the ground. We don't know why. We just know it was. And what we have to do is pray for those who lost life. Pray for those who lost loved ones. Pray for those who are wondering why. But again, we cannot contend with God. Is in charge, and everything he does is for a purpose and a reason. Even when we think it's harsh. And as we get into our psalm this morning, 101 verses 1 through 4, we got to praise God even in the midst of whatever we're going through. I will sing of mercy and justice, a psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, and will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. We got to praise God even in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. We got to praise God. You know, and as Dr. Stanley tells us in this life lesson for the 101st Psalm, verse 2, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. It's one thing to behave in a godly way in public when you know many eyes are watching. It's another to reflect in goodness and righteousness at home, where only family members see. God calls us to both. God knows our heart. God knows our message. God knows everything about it. We got to trust him. We got to call on his name, Jesus. Lord Almighty God, I call on you. Do you trust him today? Do you believe he can make a way out of no way? Do you believe he can take you, hallelujah, to the throne of grace, that he loves you like that? Because he's God. And he wants what's best for you. Come on. 101st Psalm, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. How many affairs begin with just a harmless glance? How many thefts start with an envious gaze? How many addictive habits get rolling with prolonged exposure to the wrong thing? God knows it all. He sees it all. Be careful what you allow in your eye gate. It makes a difference in what you do. Believe me, I can speak this. God knows it all and sees it all. And he wants us, I will not know wickedness. And it says a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. We don't want to have a perverse heart that God does not want us in his presence. We want to be in the presence of God. Proverbs 23:29-30. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contention? Who has complaint? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. He's talking about the alcoholic. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? The wounds without cause. Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Come on now. Those who go in search of mixed wine. We got to be careful in this dealing with addiction. We all have some type. And it can cause woe. It can cause sorrows. It can cause contention. It can cause complaints. We can hurt ourselves and don't know it. And it can cause redness of the eyes because you're crying out to God. We got to know who's in charge. No one can continue. The Almighty God. The question is, who can? And I answer you, no one. Not even Job, who was good. Not even David, who loved the Lord. That's why he sent his son to die for you, to die for me, because we all need the Lord. Need him. Every day and every hour. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? It's a question we all got to ask ourselves. Where would I be if it wasn't for the Lord? I don't even want to think about it. But I can only say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for my life. Thank you, Lord, for everything, my good, my bad, and my downright ugly. Thank you, Lord. I'm nothing without you. Hallelujah. Praise God this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the upright, unrighteous, and not before the saints? I'm going to read that again. And it's the question that Paul asked. Having a manner against another, go to law before the unrighteous, before the saints. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest man? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brothers. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not, brother, accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brothers. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Come on now. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going back. I got to read it again. Because so many times We want to stop at one and not touch the others. You can stop at, and I'm going to read it again, starting at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Being deceived every day. And all you got to do is look at the word of God to know, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm being deceived. Neither fornicators. Homosexual. Calling it. Nor sodomites. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revelers. Nor extortioners. We inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Come on now. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are helpful for me. But all things are not helpful. Are lawful for me. But I will not be brought under the power of any. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Oh, man. Understand, you are creating soul ties just out there willy-nilly sleeping with anything and anybody. You better stop. Because it says right here, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Life is not my own. To him I belong. I give myself to you. We got to have that in our spirit. We got to give it to God. But this body is not ours. Just as much as sin to overeat as to be a drunkard. We got to be careful that we are not gluttonous, but you are brought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Come on now. Apostle Paul just had to give a last word this morning. We cannot contend with God Almighty. We got to live right, do right, be right. And I can tell you now, I got some work to do. We all do, because none of us are perfect. But we got to continue working to get there, working to make it to Jesus. Ooh. Thank God today for his grace and for his mercy. Is there a limit to God's forgiveness? Pardonable sin. Can I ever be free of the weight of this guilt? Will God forgive every sin? And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. And this is what our word tells us. He says, I have good news for you. Your loving Heavenly Father will forgive you of all your sins. You can be released today from your sins if you will do what God said. The Apostle Paul dealt with an instance of gross sexual immorality in the Corinthian church. A man was sleeping with his stepmother. Yuck. Against that backdrop, Paul wrote, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This passage holds three great messages for us. First, it tells us that sin is sin. Come on now. God doesn't differentiate between one type of sin and another. Most of us wouldn't consider slanders in the same sin boat as these, but sin is sin. If I am a gossiper, just talking about everything and everybody like they are junkyard dogs, then I'm just as guilty as the adulterer. Come in and look at ourselves. I can't talk about Sister Susie and her bad attitude, a boo-boo and them doing all kind of sinful things, but yet I'm over here cussing and fussing and acting like I don't know God. Come on now. We can't be in church, hallelujah, praise the Lord, walk out and light our cigarette. Oh, on the church step. We got to understand we all are held accountable. I can't call myself loving God when I'm over here cussing out everybody and everything. Understand, God sees it all, and we cannot contend with God the Almighty. Who can say I'm perfect? Not one of us. The only perfect being to ever walk this earth was Jesus. And what happened? He died for me. He died for you. But praise the Lord, he rose again. And number two, second, it tells us that sin is a lifestyle, a state of being. Paul declared that sin had been the identity of the Corinthians. Sin had been their all-consuming character. Paul called them former thieves, people who had stolen as a way of life. He didn't say some of you had one too many drinks on occasion. He said some of the Corinthian church were drunkards. Sin isn't just something you do. Rather, sinful is something you are from birth. Third, it tells us that all types of sin can be forgiven. Paul declared, and such were some of you. And then Paul reminded them that they were no longer who they had been, but they had been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The Corinthians, as sorry a group of sinners as ever came together as a church, found a new life and a new identity in Christ Jesus. Nothing is beyond God's forgiveness. No sin is too great or too awful for God to forgive. No person is so deep in sin, so ingrained in a wicked lifestyle that he or she cannot be saved. There's going to be a whole bunch of folks standing at the gate going in that's going to shock some folks. And there's going to be a whole bunch of folks standing at the gate going in the opposite direction than going in to the kingdom of God. I want to make it in. I'm not perfect, but I ask God, forgive me, Lord, for everything I've done that is not like you. We got to ask forgiveness because we want to make it in. I want to make it into the heavenly kingdom of God. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to hear the angels sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. I want to praise God with the highest praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. I want to know who God is. I want to sit and see his majesty and not walk in fear. I want to know who he is. I want to sit and let him give me a hug and say, well done, by good and faithful service. Hallelujah. Do you want to know Jesus this morning? 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Come on now. Paul had no interest in allowing the sinful patterns for which he had escaped through Jesus, through God's grace, to enslave him again. He didn't ask what's wrong with it, or much as what's right with it. Something has gone dreadfully wrong. When someone who professes faith in Christ continues to live according to the same sinful pattern exhibited before salvation. We better understand. Sometimes that's an ouch, because that shoe is fitting real tight. I want to read that one more time. It's Dr. Stanley. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Paul had no interest in allowing the sinful patterns from which he had escaped through God's grace to enslave him again. He didn't ask what's wrong with it as much as what's right with it. Something has gone dreadfully wrong when someone who professes faith in Christ continues to live according to the same sinful patterns exhibited before salvation. 1 John 2:4. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, from God. But sexual sin damages and sabotages the very physical process that keeps life going. It also tends to warp the human character at a very deep level. No Christian should ever say, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. Bam. No believer owns his or her body. Christ paid for it with his own blood on the cross. It belongs to him. Wow. This body, even when I have issues, it still belongs to God. This is not mine. It's a shell that he put around his spirit. And what's inside of me belongs to God. And I got to make sure that God's body is taken care of. Sometimes we have to take medication. Sometimes we have to do what's right, but we need to take care of the body. We can't overeat. We need to do some exercises, hand raised up, speaking to the choir. We can't pay for the gym membership and not use it. Ouch. You know, we got to do what we need to do. But we do whatever we do it for God. So I thank you all for listening in this morning. A word from my sister, Carolyn. And I pray you are able to hear me clearly. Whew, what a word this morning. And a word from Sister Carolyn is this. God has your answers. Seek him, and he will show you what you need to know. He has good things for you, even in bad situations. Have a God, a trust God basis. Again, all up in the lesson. All I can say is thanking God for my sister in Christ. Thanking God for all of you listening in. We will be wrapping up early today because I only have what God gives me. So I thank you again for coming in and listening in. I do have some announcements for a change in schedule. But this week, I will be out of town on Saturday and Sunday. But I will be traveling home early on Sunday and will not be able to broadcast. So there will be a broadcast, New Testament, Saturday. We will have a Sabbath Saturday lesson. So we will be together on Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. I will be blogging on Saturday instead of Sunday, because Sunday I will be traveling back home to make it to church on time. So I will not be blogging on Sunday. I will be traveling. So please join me on Saturday, Sabbath day. We're going to keep it holy in the Word of God. So please join me again on Saturday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, for Word from God. This announcement will go out again on tomorrow. But again, change of service time. We will be together Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. There will not be a Sunday service. There will not be a Sunday service this week. So please come in on Saturday morning. We will be blogging at that time. So the Almighty. And the answer is none of us. So thank God this morning. Praise God this morning. Give God your absolute praise. And just tell God, thank you, Lord, for another day that you have made. I'm rejoicing and glad in it. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, you know, for those that come in late, we are all done. So thank you so much. I praise God for all of you. I thank God for all of you. Have a great and blessed day. It is a wrap because I got to go to work. Thank you so much. Be blessed and have a great day. Again, join me tomorrow morning for Old Testament. We will be in the Old Testament on tomorrow. We will be in Job chapter 41. We actually will be finishing up the book of Job. And we will be going into Ecclesiastes. Oh, I'm excited. We will be in Ecclesiastes also on tomorrow. And, ooh, the word is a time for everything. Hallelujah. So please join me on tomorrow for the completion of Job and the beginning of Ecclesiastes. And then on Saturday, again, there will be a Saturday show because I will be traveling on Sunday. So please join me Saturday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time as we blog on that time. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me this morning. Paul has preached today, and I am grateful for his message that this body is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. And the word that God gave us, who can contend with God Almighty? And the answer is no one. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. God bless you. God keep you. And our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, our prayer over you and yours, family. Have a great and wonderful day. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.